Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast, where you hear about the business of the casino entertainment industry from the people who make it happen. I'm Roger Gross, the publisher of GGB, and this week we repeat a discussion with Felix Rappaport, the former president and CEO of Foxwoods Resort Casino in Connecticut that we first published in September of 2016. Rappaport passed away unexpectedly last month. The GGB podcast is brought to you by iGamingPlayer.com, the nation's leading affiliated marketing service for land-based and online casinos on iGaming and sports betting. Felix Rappaport, a highly regarded and beloved casino executive, died on June 18th in the place where he felt most respected, a suite at Foxwoods Casino Resort, where he was president and CEO. A former Wynn and MGM executive, Rappaport was appointed president and CEO of Foxwoods in 2014. Since that time, Foxwoods has improved its financial performance and backed away from the fiscal cliff it was approaching. Rappaport explained how his team had approached their task, the simple solutions they employed to improve performance, and how the Mashantucket Pequots now have a five-year plan for Foxwoods. He spoke with me at his offices in Foxwoods in August of 2016. Sad, deserted shore. Felix Rappaport, thanks for joining us on the GGB podcast. It's my first time seeing you up here. You've been here for a couple of years now, and it's good to get back together with you. Last time you were, I think I saw you at Luxor when you were opening a new nightclub there or something, but it's good to see you on the East Coast for a change.
Well, thank you, Roger. I'm originally from Philadelphia, and so I'm an East Coast kid, and even though I spent a lot of time in Las Vegas, it's good to be back on the East Coast, and it's great to see you, and I think we've known each other about 25 years.
A long time.
Or longer. So welcome to Foxwoods.
Great. Now, you've been in charge here for about 2 years, and right before you got here, there's a lot of financial turmoil. You know, there's a bankruptcy proceedings and things of that nature. What did you do when you first got here to really right the ship?
Well, first of all, I don't want to take credit for, quote-unquote, righting the ship.
Right.
I think that it's been a team effort. But I know my predecessor and Deb Mallon, who's our CFO, and the tribal council led by Chairman Rodney Butler, and our treasurer, Gene Swift, thousands of hours spent by that team in working with our lenders to try to have a more stable financial environment. And so what I've really focused on since I've been here is to try to bring in the right team, rebuild the executive committee, bring in some solid marketing people like Ashley Polo and PR and what have you, and work with our lenders and have not only a good story to tell in terms of better operations, better financial results, but also to have a viable strategic plan for the future. And so that would be, I would say, our contribution, rebuilding the executive team, putting in place the right operational expertise. So the table game, slots, hotel, food and beverage, all were led by excellent people. We've been fortunate most of the time that I've been here. We've had good financial results and a good story to tell, and we clearly have a good five-year strategic plan going forward.
Okay. Now, there was such a focus on refining the property and making sure it was financially stable that some of the basics got ignored, and you mentioned how Ashley has rebuilt the social media program, or actually built the social media program. What are some of the other areas that you had to really look at when you came in? Was there some gaming things? And
you know, it's kind of counterintuitive, but I always said one of the reasons that I was optimistic is because I felt that there was room for improvement in virtually every aspect of our business. And I don't mean that to disparage anybody who worked before me.
Sure.
It's not my style. My style is to try to build on the foundation of what came before. But, for example, in marketing, we had enormous amount of turnover in the last 10 years. And so we have a new VP of brand marketing, Paul LaRocca, Ashley Polo, who is in charge of social media and PR, and she played a very big role in e-commerce. We've really tried to put together a good marketing team for starters. We brought in Eric Pearson, who worked with me in Las Vegas, and he has a lot of gaming experience. Solid slot guy, has really focused on not only slots, but also our database. We brought in a new database strategic VP named Amy Diet. We brought in a new food and beverage VP from Vegas named Adam Odegaard. We promoted internally whenever possible. That's always our first choice. So, for example, Scott Ryder, who's been here 24 years, has been promoted to VP of Player Development, and Wayne Thies was promoted to VP of Table Games and other gaming elements. So the really good news is we had many good people here in our team, but we've tried to supplement that and complement that with experts on the outside. And I think building that executive team, and not only have good individual expertise in each technical department, Roger, but also to ensure that the culture was to work together.
Mm-hmm.
If I had one criticism of the team when I got here, there was a lot of silos,
right,
in the sense that people focused on their own department as opposed to what's good for the overall organization. We have a great senior VP of finance, Karen Lanigan, a great VP of financial analysis, Brian Hayes, a great entertainment VP in Monique Sebastian, a great VP of HR in Dale Merrill, a great VP of MIS in Brian Charette, and I could go on.
Sure.
Mike Witte is a phenomenal VP of engineering, and so I'm sure I've left people out. Jason Guyette is a great VP of not only hotel operations and development. John Perry handles compliance. Annette Dubois not only handles retail, but she's now going to handle the guest experience. Mike Santagata and Marietta Anderson, great legal people. And I'm sure I've missed somebody, and if I have, I'm hoping that Ashley nudges me. But my point is, Roger, that we had a great base, we've added to it, and now I demand that everyone works together in a cohesive unit. Chris O'Connell, can't overlook him. Chris has operations. He also was instrumental in opening the Tanger Mall, along with Jason and Annette and Mike Witte. So I'm real proud of the team, I think. Potentially, it's one of the strongest, if not the strongest team I've ever worked with in 37 years in the business. But the key is they're working together, and that's really our culture.
Okay, great. Now, one of the new things that is here now since I've been here last a few years ago is the Tanger Outlet Mall you mentioned. Am I mistaken saying it's the largest indoor outlet mall in the world? I don't know.
In the world, because I know there's a lot of big stuff in Asia,
right,
and a lot of big stuff around the world. What I will say, it's the only indoor, fully acclimatized, fully enclosed Tanger Outlet Mall. Steve Tanger is a visionary. At last count, he has 46 or 47 properties around the North America and the world. But there's kind of a pattern, and most of them are open-air outlet malls.
Right.
And this one is one of the first, the only one that's now part of a casino, number one. And number two, it's just gorgeous. So if people think an outlet mall needs to be tacky, it's the exact opposite. It's classy.
It's a beautiful property.
It's beautiful. There's 80 stores and
you do have a lot of natural light coming in as well. Yeah.
Beautifully designed, beautiful artwork, and it really continues to gain traction. It opened May 24th over a year ago, and the visitations are continuing to grow. The revenues are continuing to grow. And more importantly, it really gives Foxwoods a tremendous competitive advantage over any other casino in the region. It's really world-class. And you have to actually access the mall from our two biggest casinos, Grand Pequot and Fox. So it's another way to traverse what is the largest casino resort in North America. And so having another way to get from point A to point B is a good thing.
Sure. And it must help during the traditional slowest part of the casino year, the holiday season, bringing a lot of people into the building just for that.
Yeah, there's, I think, in Connecticut in August, there's some tax incentives, tax-free week.
Right.
Certainly back to school is always good. Certainly the holidays, it's always good. And we work very well with Tanger, John Delishny, and his team, Aaron Grenier, are really partners, and we meet with them all the time. And again, Steve Tanger, wonderful guy, and Tom McDonough, they have a really great organization.
Okay. Now, slot revenues have rebounded over the past year or so. We see them publicly reported. We don't see the table game. Has that rebounded in a similar fashion?
Yeah, I mean, I think, listen, it is a very competitive market. And certainly Penn National opening in Massachusetts, and of course there's new casinos on the way. New York City has several very formidable foes or competitors. Certainly Atlantic City has a number of properties that continue to do well in Pennsylvania and Delaware and what have you. So we work very hard to recapture market share in slots. And the key, in my opinion, is that we have in place a great leadership, again, with Eric Pearson. Mm-hmm. And Amy Diet. Amy's only been with us 3 or 4 months. She worked with us before at MGM. She's a world-class database and customer relationship management individual. If she was sitting here, I would call her a geek, you know, and she proudly admits right. that she's a geek. She's a well-dressed geek, but a geek nonetheless, and very technically proficient. So I think we've put in place the right team, and we have a lot of innovative things. We have something called Fox Perks, so when you're playing on a game, you get rewarded, mm-hmm. and that can be customized. We certainly are continuing to try to have the coolest, best machines on the floor. So I would say that we are well on the way toward doing everything possible to recapture as much of the market share as possible. But there's no question that we're in a very competitive set.
Sure. Now, you did have a competitor open up just over the Massachusetts border with the Plain Ridge Casino, all slots, Penn National's property. What kind of impact did you feel from that?
I don't think we have felt a huge impact. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, Penn National's an excellent regional company, and they have a presence now in Vegas as well. They're really good at what they do, and they also have an extremely competitive player rewards program. But I think that a high percentage of our business comes from Massachusetts, just as it does Rhode Island and Connecticut. And so the further people have to travel, the more compelling our message has to be. I never want to say difficult,
right.
but we have to offer a compelling message.
Sure.
And so if you live 5 minutes from a regional or a local or a casino of convenience, and you want to play slots or table games, you can't do that, obviously, in that location, but you're going to do that.
Right.
And we have to continue to give people compelling reasons to come here. So, for example, we have 38 restaurants, and we have 300 shows a year, and we have world-class golf, and we have 2 world-class spas. If you like what we have to offer, we have lots of reasons to visit Foxwoods.
Right.
But I don't think that particular property has impacted us very significantly.
Okay. So the other two properties that they're building in Massachusetts that are actually underway now, built by companies you're very familiar with, they're first-class competitors, but they won't be open until 2018 at the earliest. Does that give you some advantage that you can, you know, build up your operations and your offerings here so that when they do open, you know, you're prepared for it?
Well, first of all, there's really 3, right? Because the Mashpees
right. yeah,
are
absolutely.
Collaborating with
Genting right.
which is also a great company,
mm-hmm.
In Taunton, Mass., and they actually could be the first casino to come online, and optimistically they seem to think that they'll be open in 17. MGM, world-class organization, nothing but positive things to say about them, and they've heavily invested in Springfield, and anyone who doesn't think that MGM will build a beautiful property and do a phenomenal job at opening and offer guests all of the things that they can, like M Life, very worthy competitor. Obviously, they have just bought Borgata, their portion of it. They're building in Maryland. So they are obviously a world-class operator. And then Steve Wynn, who I also work for, certainly the best developer, I think, in the business mm-hmm. and hugely successful in Vegas and Asia and elsewhere. So when he opens in Everett, whenever that is, 19 or 20, whenever that happens, that's also going to be a world-class competitor. So people always ask me if I feel that we're oversaturated. And I always say that I don't think that's a word I like to use.
Mm-hmm.
the world is competitive, and organizations that evolve stay competitive and survive and thrive, and organizations that don't evolve don't have as much success. So it's our job, my job, the team's job, Tribal Council's job, to figure out what we want to be when we grow up. We're about to celebrate our 25th anniversary next year, beginning in February. And so we have an abundance of resources here and an abundance of facilities. We're the largest casino, hotel, resort complex in North America. If we stay static, then we'll be less successful. If we build upon our natural foundational elements and add to that, in my opinion, we'll continue to thrive. But it'll be probably much more of a balance between gaming and non-gaming than we traditionally have enjoyed.
Okay, great. Now, one of the ways you hope to fight back against this competition is a state-supported third casino that you'll be in partnership with the Mohegan Sun. Do you think that will help lessen that impact from Massachusetts?
Well, you know, there's a five-person board, and I'm on that board with Chairman Butler and Chairman Brown and Bobby Soper and a fifth individual, Bill Rubenstein, and we spent an awful lot of time talking about what that could be and what that should be and where that should be. Obviously, MGM has their point of view with Springfield, and they have to protect their investment. And I think we also feel that we have contributed collectively, meaning Mohegan and Foxwoods, they opened in 96, we opened in 92, and Bingo goes back even further, 30
right.
years ago.
Right.
We've contributed, I believe, at least $8 billion through our gaming contributions, mm-hmm. principally through slots, to the state of Connecticut. So we think we're pretty darn important to the state of Connecticut, both as employers. I think both tribes employ at least 8,000 people, mm-hmm. either directly or indirectly. And so we really think that it's in Connecticut's best interest to support its economic future and to support jobs and the potential loss of jobs and or revenues. And so to that end, we want to continue to look at every option, but one option that we favor is to locate a casino in a different part of the state from where we currently are, somewhere in that Hartford to Springfield corridor, that could basically provide a nice experience in terms of slots and table games, probably have several restaurants, probably have some lounge-type entertainment and beverage services so that people can enjoy all that Foxwoods and Mohegan's have meant in terms of the gaming experience without being the billion-dollar... I mean, this is a $3.5, $4 billion property to try to recreate.
Right.
Mohegan's have to be multi-billions to recreate.
Sure.
So I don't think anybody feels that will be the case. But since that whole Hartford area is a very populous area and a busy area commercially, it would only make sense for us to look at that as a potential option. And hopefully, if we do that, it will allow us to extend our arm to that part of the state. And it's really about job preservation and economic preservation for the state of Connecticut.
Sure. Now, do you think the casinos in New York, the new ones they're building, the one in the Catskills and a couple a little further upstate, are they going to impact you much at all?
I don't think it's... I mean, we have a five-year plan, and so we look at the impact of everything from the three Massachusetts properties to the fact that our competitors and partners, Mohegan's, are adding more hotel rooms. So we try to look at every piece of it, but I don't think that we're particularly concerned about the upstate environment. About 10% of our business comes from New York State, but I think a lot of that comes from the city. And I think even though those will offer certain resort amenities, if we do our job right, no one's going to offer the menu of options that we offer.
Sure.
We have a pretty amazing menu currently, and we're working on a dozen or more projects that could fill out not only the property but the hundreds of acres that we sit on, so that if we do our job right, this could be one of the top resort destinations in the entire country.
Okay. I won't ask you to reveal any of those plans, but...
Well, I mean, some of them are already happening. I mean,
we have
a zip line that's going to open in November, soft opening, and then going to be a big opening in the spring, and it's going to be from the top of the Fox Tower, which is 305 or 306 feet high, depending on who you listen to. It's going to go all the way to our $300 million museum, which is... The actual run is about 3,700 feet.
Wow.
You'll reach speeds of 60 miles an hour. And so that is what we believe is a precursor to a number of other outdoor activities. Mm-hmm. We sit in this beautiful wooded area, in this beautiful part of Connecticut, in the beautiful region of New England. And yet, other than golf and a few hiking trails, we've never fully taken advantage of it. And the whole ethos of the Mashantucket Pequot tribe is to really enjoy and respect and be one with nature. And so everything we do, of course, is with Tribal Council's blessing, but we really think if we do it right, that we will have some world-class attractions here. So it's... Some of it's already being revealed and more to be revealed.
Right. So this is just on top of all the other non-gaming amenities you have right now. And this to make this the true destination resort so that you'll be able to fend off some of this competition from maybe some of these slot parlors or things they put up around you.
Yeah, I mean...
Not to say that Wynn or MGM is going to be a slot parlor.
Yeah, I mean, Steve Wynn is going to build a beautiful property. MGM is going to build a beautiful property. But they're not going to sit on hundreds of acres.
Right.
And they're certainly going to have a different point of view in Springfield or Everett than we would have in a beautiful wooded area.
Sure.
And so if you just take advantage of the area around here, we have the beach, we have boating, we have fishing, we have hunting, we have hiking, we have bicycling. People love riding motorcycles around here. There's beautiful wineries. There's a beautiful Mystic Aquarium. There's a beautiful Mystic Seaport, beautiful town of Mystic. There's 169 charming communities in the state of, mostly charming communities
right.
in the state of Connecticut. And there's so much to see and do that we want to be part of that fabric. We don't want to be grafted on
right.
to the state of Connecticut. We're really part of the fabric of that state.
Great, great. I just have one more question about, this is your first time venturing into tribal gaming. You've been in commercial gaming, I believe, your entire career. What's your experience been like? You got a great council and chairman to work with. Has it been a revelation for you?
I mean, it's really great. I like it very much. Mm-hmm. I think in many ways it's not that different. People always ask me, and I think they want me to say it's different. But we have seven tribal council members. They're very involved. They all bring something different to the occasion. You know, Rodney Butler has a financial background. Gene Swift has a financial background. Richard Sebastian has a security background. Fatima Dames has a legal background as well as an education, advanced degree in Indigenous studies. Marjorie Colby Jackson has a medical background. Danny Menahan has a background working here in marketing, bus marketing specifically. And Roy Colbert Ingram has a background in marketing and advertising entertainment. So you've got seven very distinct personalities, but they're all really committed to the tribe and they're really committed to their people. And I have had nothing but a positive experience so far. We have 200 tribal members who work here. I would say the vast majority of them have been nothing but nice and respectful and supportive of our efforts. But we have a very committed community here. And that's one of the things that's kind of inspiring in that if we do our jobs well at the Mashantucket Pequot Gaming Enterprise, otherwise known as Foxwoods, it materially helps the Mashantucket Pequot Tribal Nation, which consists of 850-plus members, half of whom are under the age of 21. And so we're very committed to education. We're very committed to social issues. And one of the things that I think is very inspiring is that the tribe really has always sought to be a good community citizen. Mm-hmm. And we, aside from the contribution of the state, we've given millions and millions and millions of dollars over the years. We're very active in things like Stuff the Bus, which every year collects right. toys for underprivileged children. We regularly go down and help the United Way, the local United Way. We regularly go down to the food bank. To me, one of the most emotional things was last year before the holidays, we had a toy drive, Stuff the Bus, and you had all of these young families, I say young, but families lined up with children, and based on their age and profile and the number of children they had, we literally would walk around and we would stuff a bag mm-hmm. full of toys and items for these kids. And you knew if we hadn't have done that, they might not have had a Christmas. They might not have right. had a holiday. Mm-hmm. So I think one of the best kept secrets is that, and it hasn't been extolled enough, is that this tribe, the Mashantuck and Pequot Tribal Nation, for 30 years, certainly since Bingo, has been an incredible, solid citizen in the community. And the other thing that I think, as we approach our 25th anniversary, that I want to emphasize is, without the Mashantuck and Pequot Tribal Nation doing Bingo, opening Foxwoods 25 years ago this February, the whole Indian gaming movement never would have happened. There right. are now 200-plus Native American tribes that run 400-plus casinos, which is a heavy percentage of the casinos in North America. And in almost every case, you've taken a tribe whose economic reality was fairly bleak
right.
and allowed that community to enjoy a standard of living and an opportunity that they might not have otherwise had. And one of the unfortunate things in North America is there are still some incredibly poor tribes who are some of the who in some cases are victims of the lowest economic reality in the entire United States. And so I guess my point is I've never had a bad job. I think I loved working for Steve Wynn. I loved working for MGM. I love working for Station Casinos. I love working for Hershey Entertainment Resort Company. But I really love working for the Mashantuck and Pequot Tribal Nation. You really get a feeling that you can make a difference here, not only to the community but the of the nation, but the larger community. And so far, the council has been nothing but supportive, and they really encourage us to have a strategic vision and have a strategic plan. And for me, it's been very fulfilling. So I don't see a lot of differences. I think everything that I've done in the past prepared me for this, and hopefully I'm worthy and our team is worthy of the support and respect we get from tribal council.
Kind of makes you re-examine the term return on investment, I guess. Huh?
I mean, it really does. You know, I mean, we have had some very well-documented ups and downs in our history, just like many corporations. MGM, Caesars, a lot of organizations. It's kind of a natural business cycle. And great organizations arise to the occasion. And we are optimistic about our future. And I think we're very, we're very optimistic that we can pull the right pieces together to ensure a better future and a secure future for the tribal nation.
Great. Well, Phyllis, congratulations on what you've been doing here. It's really been inspiring to see these people to get back together again and really to progress on the road to success that it was on for so long. So thanks for the time, and we appreciate you sitting down with us.
Well, thank you. It's great to see you. We hope you come back. We hope next time you come back to Connecticut that you're able to actually stay at Foxwoods as our guest.
We'll do that for sure.
Thank you, Roger.
Until it's time to go.
We hope you enjoyed this edition of the GGB Podcast, brought to you by iGamingPlayer.com, the leading affiliate marketing service for land-based and online casinos in North America. To learn more about the gaming industry, visit GGBMagazine.com, or for a weekly update, visit GGBNews.com. Follow us on Twitter at Global Gaming Biz, or on LinkedIn and Facebook at Global Gaming Business Magazine. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next week on the Global Gaming Business Podcast.